I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PACs members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate. Now let's get back to The Gloom. And we're back. That's how we start every show, even here, but I think we're going to do it live because we're at the Nomad, which I'm glad that you were able to come to this space. This is, I think, our third interview here in the Nomad. So I think.
Oh, this wow. This is cool.
Yeah. So you're special.
Yeah. I'm happy.
Well, thank you.
I've been told that before.
Yeah. You know, when I was getting ready for this interview, I was thinking about a lot of things that just our relationship, right? I've known you for a long time, even pre F3. You know, some of my family.
Yes. Right?
And then I think also, and don't be offended when I say this, but you might be the oldest PACs member that we've interviewed.
I could be.
On this show, right?
Yes.
So
only hipsters older than me.
Okay. Well, and if guys haven't figured it out, this handsome gentleman here is Da Vinci.
Yeah.
So where we'd like to start the show is kind of from your like EH story. So who EH'd you? Who got you involved in F3?
Well, it'd have to be Grills.
Yeah.
The story I tell, though, is for the first year, he started a year before I did, year and a day before I did. And I sort of remember being at a men's retreat in Nebraska City.
Okay.
Probably 6 or 7 years ago. And there were some guys in from Kansas City that were talking about this thing called F3. But they didn't have an F3 down there at the time, so I don't know what they were saying. But I thought it sounded like a goofy thing where guys worked out outside all the time. So I thought that sounded goofy. And then Davin started doing it. Girls started doing it. And then Brazilian was coming to my office with his kids.
Sure.
Orthodontics, and he kept telling me to do it. But it was really Davin that got me out. And COVID. And the warmer weather. I wouldn't have gone out in the cold. I didn't like that cold.
Do you go out in the cold now?
I love it now.
Sometimes you do.
I love it now. And the colder it is, the better it is. Nothing will keep me out. I really love that. And I always hated living in Nebraska because the weather sucks all the time. And I can't say I hated it, but there's 10 nice days.
Right.
And so this has made me really embrace the winter. And if it's 20 below, it's great. I love it.
Oh, that's
just so put another cool layer on.
Well, so tell us about when so Grills convinced you to come out.
Where, yes.
Do you remember where that first workout was at? And sort of would love to hear your first impressions of the group.
Oh, the first time I lived near Memorial Park, so I went there to Futurama.
Okay.
And I believe Pony Express named me, so I think that was it. Davin was there, but it was May 20th, 2020. So
okay.
Might have been May 21st. I think he's May 20th. So anyway, it was there. And I don't know if it was that day or another day after that at Futurama. There weren't as many sites as there are now, but I think Davin was leading it, so it must have been afterwards. He asked me for a 10 count, and I said no, because I had no idea what a 10 count was.
You're like, I don't have one.
Yeah, so that's a little joke. We both do 10 counts if we're leading with the other one there. It's very funny.
It's cool.
So I don't know. I thought it was fun. I liked it. Yeah. It was great.
And did you think the workout was challenging, or was it compared to what you were doing on your own?
Not too much. I always have tried to run a little bit. I was mostly a swimmer, though. I swam all the time. At UNO, I did a master swimming thing. I started swimming in college just to stay in shape. And then I'd probably swim 5 or 6 miles a week.
Okay.
And so it really wasn't very strenuous for me. But I don't like the running.
Yeah.
And I never did like running because I was always slow. I think part of that is due to if you swim, you have to create a pace.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're going to drown. So I am when I'm at a comfortable pace, I see no reason to run any faster.
Yeah. So, well, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not the fastest runner.
What about the name Da Vinci? How, like, remember what you said when you were in the circle that landed upon?
Oh, I know. I was fearful of being a Benson Bunny and getting some bunny name. I didn't really want that. But, you know, you tell your story, and my story is kind of short, but it's in junior high and high school and college, I made sculptures and the fountains where water trickled through and wall hangings and things like that. So, and that's the only job I've ever had except for orthodontics. So I've never worked for anybody but myself. So anyway, they thought I was an artist.
And they said Da Vinci.
Yes, yeah. Da Vinci, yeah. I didn't see any of my art, and maybe they would call me that now.
I think you're an artist. I remember, so our story goes way back to, like, I started dating my wife in,
right,
you know, 2002, and you were already connected with their family. And so I remember meeting you, and I remember you had like a gold ring that you had designed.
Oh, yes.
It was like a really cool, and I just remember that being like, he made that.
Yeah, I made jewelry in college, and my dad got a diamond ring when he graduated from high school. So he gave my brother one and me one. And so I created that mounting that it was in. I don't wear it anymore. After my parents died, I just quit wearing the diamonds.
True.
I don't know. It felt like I should wear them at that time, but now I feel silly with a diamond ring on. So I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember you being a creative guy. Yeah. And I also remember, I have to tell you this because my kids just found you always give really kind of eccentric gifts, you know, and my kids just found this little mini vacuum. It's a USB cord, Dirt Devil vacuum that I think, and it's the coolest thing in our house right now. But so take us back, because you're how old now?
I'm 71.
71.
Yes.
Respect.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So how have you, because when I look at you, and as I've known you over the years, you've always maintained a good level of fitness, and you continued to do so. So I guess talk us through that, like over the years, how have you found that sort of stability or the ability to be in good health at 71?
Well, I do think it takes consistency. You need to do it. There have been periods of time where I haven't as much. I know when, not so much when my father kind of died instantly with a heart attack. My mom, she lingered a little bit, not so much, but she needed some. She got lung and cancer, and that was kind of for a year. She was at home the whole time, but by caring for her and managing her care, I didn't work out as much. So maybe I gained 5 or 6 pounds, but I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So I've always thought I should keep the same kind of weight that I had in high school. And my brother gave me a belt from when he was in the Navy. He was 10 years older than me. And he had, there somebody made a belt in St. Augustine, and he gave me that belt, and it didn't have a hole in it. So I put one hole in it, and I thought, okay, I can never get bigger than this one hole.
Okay.
So for a long time, I kept that. I don't have the belt anymore. I wish I did, but
interesting.
So I've always had a 32-inch waist. So
yeah, I just heard something the other day that it was like an equation that if you take your height in inches and multiply it by like 0.45, that's supposed to be your waist size or something.
Yeah.
So you'll have to look.
I'll have to check that up.
Yeah. See if that was. So yeah. You still have the belt?
No, I don't. Okay. I wish I did. Okay. I feel bad. I don't
have... Yeah.
But that's my story. That's the truth. But I thought I got to always stay at a 32-inch waist, but I look different now than I did back then.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, muscle tone is a little, it's hard keeping muscle on. You know, their skin gets a little saggy. It doesn't look the same, mm-hmm. but it doesn't look too bad.
What? And so you mentioned swimming
yes.
earlier. Did you play sports growing up, or was swimming kind of your thing?
Well, that was kind of my thing. My dad would come home early from work. We'd go to the Guinea Park pool. There's a pool there, and we'd go swimming because he liked to swim. He grew up in Fremont, Nebraska, and there was really nothing to do as a kid but to go swim in the Platte River. And you know, he was really old. He was 50 when I was born.
Okay.
So he was born in 1905. So his, you know, his youth, he remembered the train coming in with a circus. So he loved circuses, and then he went swimming. So
that's what you did.
Yeah. So and he liked to play golf. We played golf, but neither one of us were very good. So
yeah. Did you, I guess a question I would have for you is you look back over the years, because I also think diet is important to you.
Yes. Yeah.
I would be curious, like, give us some wisdom or some advice, right? As you think back to your younger years, like if I'm going to be 40 in December, right. what advice would you give to a guy this might?
Well, let's see. You know, when you're younger, you do a lot of stuff so you can eat and do all that. I was never much of a drinker.
Mm.
So you pour a lot of empty calories in you if you drink. Mm. I think when I went to college, I didn't like drinking at all. And I might have an occasional mixed drink. I didn't like beer, so I never started drinking beer until I went to North Carolina, and that they didn't have liquor by the drink in North Carolina.
Okay.
So all you could drink was beer at a bar. So I'd have one beer. So I never was much of a drinker, but I like sweets a lot, but I never ate a ton. I remember when I was probably 30 years old, 32 years old. I bought a post office in South Sioux City, Nebraska. My banker said, hey, this is a great deal. I know this guy. He's got this post office. So I decided to buy it. I went to lunch with this guy. And he probably weighed 400 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And he took me to lunch. And
do I know this guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't.
Okay.
That's a funny story. We both know somebody that could be that guy.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
This guy was from Sioux City, and he had a Snicker bar on the way to lunch, and he ordered two entrees, and he had another Snicker bar on the way back from lunch. And I thought, you just got to watch what you put in your body. So that may have had a bit of influence on me that I can't be eating everything out.
But are you, do you have like a super strict diet? I don't know you to be like really strict with what you eat, but so it's really as simple as just pay attention to what you're.
Yes, I would say that. The last 8 years now, I've been predominantly vegetarian or vegan. For 7 years, I was vegan, and that's because I did a Bible study fellowship. I did that. It was a 7-year deal. And one of the years when we were going through the book of Leviticus, there was a physician in the group, and he just talked about, he was an infectious disease doctor, and he would talk about how the rules of hygiene for the Jews was really incredible, and that's what kept him healthy. And I ran into him at a Christmas party. I was 62 or 3 then. And he said, you know, you need to become a vegan now because you've got to watch the bacteria you put in your gut because you're getting older. So I said, well, Jesus probably, I know he ate fish and I think he ate lamb.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, you know, actually those two meats are the best to eat. Except for shellfish, they have the best bacteria spectrum, but you should be a vegan. So he told me to watch a couple films. I did, and it convinced me that I should do that.
Okay.
It's very difficult to be a vegan, though, and go out to eat.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can have but salad and beans and potatoes. You can't put bacon. You can't put butter on it or sour cream or anything. So, but I did that pretty well for 7 years. And just the last couple of years, I decided to be more of a vegetarian with an occasional lamb entree or some fish.
Okay. Interesting. It's so fascinating how it's kind of simple, right? If we just pay attention to what we're eating,
but right.
It's also somehow we find a way to overcomplicate.
Yes. Right? Like, yes.
I love it. How are you feeling now? Like you're 71. Do you feel like if you were to kind of look back, are you as healthy as you were at any certain age or what's that like, I guess, at 71?
Well, you know, Grills, he started working for me when he was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was 50 and, you know, he was 20 something. And, I was a better runner than I am now.
Like faster or you
can faster. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty slow now. And I mean, I jog now. I can't say I run.
Yeah.
I do Paradise and that it takes me the whole time to do the 3 miles. I don't stop very often and do the exercises in between, but Samples helps me through that. He runs with me, so we have good talk. If I have to talk, I run slow.
Yeah.
I'll run a little faster if they're doing all the talking. So I could run with you a little faster.
Wait, what do you say? Because I like to talk.
Yeah. And you, but you remember you ran with me in Florida for what, a half a mile? And you said, I'm going to take off. So there you go.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not so focused on running fast anymore. I just want to be able to run until I'm in my 70s.
Yeah. I think you could do it. But I do, it has, does help me to do some yoga stuff. I probably, 20 years ago, I went to with this gal I knew in San Francisco, and she took me to this hot yoga Bikram thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a fascinating thing. It was really difficult. I liked the heat because I don't like being cold. And so when I came back here to Omaha, that was a Bikram studio. So I went to that a few times.
Nice.
It's a little bit more difficult to go if you're like F3 takes an hour and a half every day or whatever. And then if you're going to try to of another hour of doing yoga, that's too much. So, but every morning I do about 10 or 15 minutes of some yoga stretches, and that makes a difference.
I like that. What, and this is a question I want to get your thoughts on, because I can see myself, I love fitness, I love running. And as I get older, I imagine my abilities change or decrease, and I think I might struggle with that. How have you adjusted maybe mentally to a change in your abilities physically?
Well, I would say F3's kind of helped with that.
Okay.
Because it allows me to work out with guys half my age.
Yeah.
And have, you know, fellowship with them, relationship with them. That's fun to work out with other folks.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few people my age that are out or doing anything. You don't even see them in restaurants, really.
Right.
Yeah. It's just... they don't do much.
Well, they're in nursing homes.
No, well, some are, you know, there's all kinds of things that happens. I've been blessed with very healthy. I've never had anything that was an issue. And I wonder how I will handle that when I start to have some issues.
Yeah. Because you haven't necessarily had a physical ailment or decline, right? You're for the most
part. Not that I'm aware. I'm a little slower runner. And that's all I've really noticed.
Yeah. What, I could talk to you for hours just about anything, but want to segue kind of into this, fellowship piece, right? So F3 Fitness Fellowship Faith, as you think about relationships, talk us through that. Cause I've always known you to be outgoing. You have, it seems like everybody knows Da Vinci or knows you and, you know, so how did you go through that within F3 to build relationships with some of the guys?
Well, it's probably better now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. So part of the thing is with F3, it starts early in the morning and so did my office hours. I started work at 7. So in my mind, I thought I cannot work out on school days.
Yeah.
And I can only work out if I have a day off or on a weekend. So for the first, 3 years, I just worked out 2 days a week.
Okay.
And, you don't get a lot of relationship in that. I really did value that. Saturdays were really nice because people could hang around a little longer. So, and then, but 2 years ago, I decided I can maybe race to the office after I take a shower.
Oh, yeah.
Or not take a shower in the wintertime if you don't sweat. So that's how I first started. And, but I've, in the last year and a half, I've decided to start 10 or 15 minutes later at work so that I can at least go work out.
Yeah.
So now I'm working out 4 or 5 days a week, and that's really enhances the relationship.
Yeah. You're what we call guys have listened to other Whetstone podcasts that we're doing, you're what we call a one phone guy because you own and operate and run your own practice, right? So
yes.
You can sort of say, oh, I'm not going to see patients.
And, right. Whatever. I have that opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you've adjusted a little bit there. What,
yes.
I guess the other question I would have for you as you think about relationships, I think my perception is that a lot of your desire, you're just naturally curious. So you just like to get to know other people. And so you ask great questions and you show an interest. How did you develop that? Like, where does that come from? Did your parents instill that into you, or where did you pick that up?
Well, I picked it up through How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people will say that probably. But I grew up with an older brother who's 10 years older.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one friend that lived next door to me. And then there were some girls that lived across the street. We all did stuff together until they moved away. The parents got divorced. So I really just basically had one or two friends growing up. And then I felt, because my parents were older and they dragged me everywhere, I felt really comfortable with older people more than with younger people. And I would say I was shy.
Mm-hmm.
I was a shy guy. And then I went to 2 years of undergraduate college. I lived in a fraternity, but then I got in a dental school right away. And after 2 years, and then that's a pretty much a 50-hour week job.
Yeah.
And so then I went to orthodontics right after that. And after the first year of orthodontics, it was a pretty tight group, just 6 residents. I thought I might want to practice in Florida. And I thought, if I go to Florida for 2 weeks, I'm not going to talk to anybody. I don't know how to talk to people. So somebody suggested that book. I read that book and I kind of blossomed in Florida. It was crazy. I was a different guy when I came back.
Do you remember what are some of the tactics or strategies in the book?
How to ask questions.
Okay.
Ask people questions. Okay. Because they'll think you're wonderful if you ask them a lot of questions. Because
Everybody likes talking about themselves.
Yeah, and they don't know anything about me, but I...
yeah.
So... I was never, I did a podcast for a guy a few months ago, an orthodontic podcast, and I wasn't really excited about going because I don't like talking about myself. And so I know you guys did this and I was perfectly happy with you guys not asking me to do it for a long time.
And then we did.
Because I don't like to do it.
Yeah.
I don't really like talking about myself, but.
Yeah. So the other thing we kind of talk to guys about in this fellowship piece is the, what we call the concentrica, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, for me, that's like my wife, my kids, my friends, my mentors, and my work. Talk to us about that for you. And you don't have to go too much in depth, but you're 71, have not been married,
right?
Don't have kids. So what is your sort of concentrica, or how do you manage the relationships in your life? Is that?
Yeah, that's complex.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, my dad got married when he was 40.
Okay.
And my mom was 10 years younger, 10 or 11 years younger. So in my mind, I never thought I'd get married till I was 40.
Oh yeah.
Cause I just thought that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So, I really was, and my dad wasn't much help for me dating.
Sure.
I think it makes a difference if somebody says, hey, I really like that girl, or I like, encourage you. He never did anything like that. He'd always point out some other girl,
yeah.
Which is that was my story for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I didn't get married. And probably I was mid 50s before I thought maybe I'm not going to get married. And, the going online and looking for women was really difficult. I tried that, but not much happened. So anyway, that didn't happen. My brother had family and I was close to them. He's passed away and I'm no longer close to his family. So I'm alone there. And, friends have come and gone in my life, and that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, you think you're going to have the same friends forever. I have one friend from high school, and one from orthodontics. My best friend from college, he passed away as a young man. And, so that group of old friends, there's not too many. And, I think if it wasn't for my relationship with Jesus, I would go crazy because at least I can talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's a good friend. I can talk to him. I will say that my brother died 2 years ago, and that loss of any family connection kind of was very weird for me.
Yeah.
So the last 2 years, I've kind of struggled, and probably at that, I realized a couple months ago that I was really insecure with myself. Like, who am I? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Why, I was kind of a mess, actually. And actually, Grills helped me work through that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy on Grills because I was hard on him with it.
But yeah.
But he's really close.
Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that. And it is sort of interesting. You mentioned like at 71, here you are sort of going through this, like, who am I?
Yes.
But I'll tell you, as I hear you say that, that's somewhat comforting for me. Cause I feel like I go through that every couple years. So I don't know.
It never ends.
Yeah. Is that true? That's what I was going to ask you.
It never ends. Yes.
So then how do we process that as men?
Well, I think you have to embrace it. And then I think you do somewhere in your core, you have to figure out your purpose and that you do have a purpose.
Yeah.
And one thing that I really think is important is that I think God puts opportunities before you or choices to make. And if you can take the wrong choice or the right choice, or just you don't know why you're doing it, but you feel led somewhere,
yeah,
I think you need to respond to those urges. If you don't, then it's not good. And if you can identify that some of them are negative,
yeah,
you need to do that. And if you have a friend that says, hey, why don't you come and do this? Or why don't you do that? I think you have to really listen to them.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing, and I really appreciate you sharing, because I know as we've talked over the years, it hasn't been easy for you to not have a wife, right? Or like I think, I would be curious because I know you've looked at this in the Bible, but you feel like I think that's okay, right? I think there's a lot of guys that maybe that's not part of God's plan for them, because I'm thinking of other single guys that I know that are like about my age, and I've actually told them to connect with you and sort of learn how do you process that? Because I think the world would tell us like, well, at this age, you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to have kids. But
right.
I don't know. Talk.
Well, in my 30s, when I wasn't married, and people go, well, how come you're not married? And there's got to be a reason you're not married. You know, the one reason is most people think you might be gay or something like that. So if you're not gay and you're not leaping around a lot because you have a relationship with Jesus and you're not supposed to do some things, that's really can be hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And, then by the time you get in your 40s, that sort of goes away. You're just then you're just a mess. You know, they think you're not capable of having a relationship. I know when I was younger and I'd go out double date with friends and I'd have different women all the time. I had one couple of friends that said, you know, until you settle down, we just don't want to hang out with you.
Oh. Yes.
You know, my wife doesn't like that you have different dates all the time. So that's hard too, to hear that.
Yeah.
And
but you're not like a wild, I don't
know. No.
You're not like going around partying. You're
no, just, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's crazy. But anyway, even at church, I know this, this one couple told me, well, you know, we just can't, when you get married, we can hang out, but not until you get married. So there's, the church has put you in like a little box too. Mm-hmm. You're either in the, well, I don't know. There's no really single box unless you're young. So that's harder. So, that happens. And then, when you, the other thing that's going on right now is when you turn 60, people go, well, when are you going to retire? And then when you're 65, are you retired? Are you, they'd ask you, are you retired? No.
Yeah.
And then now they're asking me, I'm building a new office for my, my orthodontic practices. How come you're not retired? What's going on? So it's like the, you have to really explain yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to quit life until God's done with you. So,
yeah. Well, and it seems like, so from my perspective, you don't have a wife and you don't have kids, but I see you pouring into all of these other men and people around you. And then you've also been able to work later into life.
Right.
So those other relationships sort of on that concentrica.
Yes.
Have filled maybe some of the void, but I don't know.
I think so. One thing that's really been interesting all these years, I've had mostly women working in my practice.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of women's stuff, issues, talking to them. I know that. Right now I have a really beautiful group of young women. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've always felt like I've been part of everybody's life and that I'm paying them. Mm-hmm. I have a relationship with them. And I think generally I'm an okay boss. I'm quirky. And so that's, you know I have a good spirit, but I have a look I give people that scares them.
Oh, yeah.
But I think generally it's been good. And I feel good about having that sort of thing where I have a family of employees too.
Yeah,
I consider more families than anything else.
Yeah. What would you say to the guy that's maybe middle-aged, not married? Is that something that, I mean, what would you, any advice you would give to a guy in that space? Should he be out on Tinder or Grindr or whatever it's called, looking for dates or
what? Well, it would be really great to be married with somebody I loved and could hang out with and have mm-hmm. do things with. I'd love that. But I just recently saw this statistics where if you reach out to 100 women on a site, you might get 10 responses or 2 responses. Not everybody responds to you.
Yeah.
So I know when I was doing it, it was really depressing to me mm-hmm. that I was not getting responses or that the ones that wanted to respond to me, I wasn't interested in. So I had some friends I kind of meet with in Bible study on Fridays. They said, we'll take over for you. We'll find you somebody. They did it for 2 months and they still laugh about some woman sitting in Leaves. I don't know what she was doing, but hey, they said, oh, we're out. We're not going to do that anymore. It's not, you're going to find that.
Yeah.
But I know that, I remember in my late 30s, I was thinking, you know, people said, well, maybe you're not going to get married. I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So I would gravitate to books about I'm getting married later in life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate that more. So I never gave up the dream.
Yes.
Now I can't figure out how that would work.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's, who would be interested in a 70-year-old guy, you know?
Yeah. So someone looking for a sugar daddy.
Yeah. 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 Which, you know.
You're not.
Everybody'd like to be Donald Trump for a day or two.
You're not looking to fill that role for anybody.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I know. I love that you're an open book about that,
yeah.
And I do think it's something that there are other guys that are going through that and don't really know. Like, I can really only tell you what it's like being a married guy, right? My wife and I've been dating for almost 23 years. So I don't, you know, but I think it's really good to have a resource like you that can give guys hope that even if marriage isn't in their future, that doesn't mean, like you said, you don't just give up on life because it doesn't look like what the world tells you.
I was at an orthodontic meeting this weekend and there was a guy I've known for 23 years. He was traveling through Omaha. Some friends said, hey, stay here. He got sick. He was with some other guys from D.C., guys I know from the National Prayer Breakfast, sent these guys out. And then I took him to the emergency room. And
yeah.
Now he's a pediatric dentist in Charlotte, and he's not married. And he says, I know it's me. I still want to get married. I know it's me, though. I said, well, so I told him, just pick one and do it.
Because
I, in my retrospect for me, I think you can just pick one and do it because none of them are going to be perfect.
Yeah.
You got to work on your inside. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And, you know, the next thing, because you mentioned this as being really important. And I think just over the years, the thing that you and I have spent the most amount of time talking about is our faith, mm-hmm. right? And I know that's super important to you. And you did some stuff with the F3 Omaha Impact Retreat. I remember mm-hmm. when you shared a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It was super cool. But talk to us about your faith. Was that, would love to sort of hear how that progressed over time and maybe what, if you remember like that moment where you sort of said, yeah, this is what I'm at.
Well, it was a long time ago, so it's hard to remember.
But yeah.
I remember I was in dental school and really struggling in dental school. I did well on my exams. I got scored some perfect scores on the dental aptitude test. I got in dental school after 2 years, which is doesn't really have, they don't do that anymore. And I think it's because of me.
Yeah. the last one.
So my midterm, my first semester in dental school, I had, there were five scientific courses and I had one D or C and four Fs going.
Wow.
At midterm. And so I was just about ready to flunk out of dental school. So by the end of the semester, I raised that up to a D, a C plus, and three D pluses. So I had a 1.8 at the end of my first semester. So I was on a, you know,
academic probation.
Yes, I was on. Yeah. So then that turned around. So that changed. But during that semester, I was talking to attorney brothers, and one guy said, well, you know, you're going to go to hell unless you accept Jesus into your life. And so I thought, well, I was a nice Lutheran boy. I didn't think I was a sinner at all, that there was anything that I'd done that would make. But I thought, just in case that guy's right, I'll make that prayer. So I made that prayer, and, you know, it changed me. I just knew that I had an eternity relationship with God through Jesus dying on the cross for me, that I could then live my life. And I always knew at that point, I want to marry a woman. Yeah. That was my goal, to marry a woman that felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dated tons of women that didn't feel that way at all, but they were all pretty.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. So my faith grew kind of slowly. And I think this guy was an angel. I don't know. I met him. I can't remember where I met him, but I remember meeting him for lunch. And he says, well, so what are you doing for Jesus? I was 28. And I said, well, I'm nothing. I'm just, you know, go to church. And he says, well, I think you need to pick it up a little bit. Huh? And then I lost track of him. I think he might have been an angel. I really do. It was a very odd thing. And so anyway, after that, I got a little bit more involved in church, where I learned how to share the gospel with people. I was active in student ministry there and did stuff for a long time that way. So that helped sustain me. And then, you know, when I went through traumas, I'd always fall back on brand.
Yeah. I would be curious. And I know you've already been vulnerable and shared a lot of stuff that I'm sure you didn't want to share, but is there a trauma or sort of an event that you would be willing to share that has maybe strengthened your faith, or just something that would be encouraging or something other guys could learn from?
I'm a pretty optimistic guy.
Yeah.
So there's not been huge traumas, but I would say one thing that was significant in my life is when I first came back to practice in Omaha, I was fortunate enough to meet your father-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
Mother-in-law, and they were followers of Jesus. So we connected on that, and they were a huge impact to me in the first part of my life, or most of my life. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big deal, to have a relationship with somebody that felt the same about Jesus and God as I did. So that happened as soon as I got back to town. So that was a big thing for me. So to have a friend that you could share things like that with. It was really good. I think, when people leave you in your life, mm-hmm. but through death or through circumstances, that's a struggle.
Yeah.
And so you really have to look towards something different, or that might be God or what you really believe. Because if you don't have that, you get really lost.
Sure. What, as you think about F3 and sort of our, definition of faith or just bringing guys together, what have you seen there? What do you think, F3, has that impacted your faith? How has that sort of worked into things?
Well, I love the COTs that happen here in Omaha.
Yeah.
They're not, I've been other cities. They're not, you can't always count on them being as good as the ones here. I think not all the ones, I think they're all great here, the way people are willing to share something that's going on in their life.
Specifically, you're talking about Boise, Idaho, where the COTs are not as good.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, I talked to a guy, though, this morning. This is very funny. Scratch, he just started a few weeks ago, and his brother's been a good friend of mine for years. From Omaha, Brett Bryant is his name.
Coach Freud.
So he didn't want to come for a long time. He's been EH'd by everybody, mm-hmm. but I talked to him at Hawaii Times wedding reception.
Yeah,
and I said, well, let's get together on lunch and talk about it. And then that didn't work for a couple of weeks, and we got together for lunch, and I was able to talk him through relieving some of his fears about it. So today he told me, he goes 5 days a week, and he loves it so much. He said, I really need this. And he took his son. He was in Charlotte. His son lives in Charlotte. So they went to an F3 down there. And he said, they didn't do any of the core principles. They just said, let's start running. He says, I don't even like to run. And we ran 5 miles. And then they didn't end it with a COT. And so it wasn't really as rich as it is here, that experience, I'm sure. Yeah. He says, but the thing is, my son still loved the guys. The guys were really warm and had a good spirit. So I think it's part of what makes F3 work is you're willing to go out there at 5:30 in the morning, no matter what the weather is. And it's severe here. It's harsh here.
Yeah.
And we're all a little crazy to do it. And so there's something that ties you together there. And then you're willing to be vulnerable about something. Very few guys have an opportunity to go tell what they feel about something.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what I feel. I got to think about it. So that's what I think is great about the COT is that if you got one coming tomorrow or the next week, you start thinking, what the heck am I going to talk about? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Another thing that was helpful for me to grow is I have a site that you queue. And I did that with Reba. And that was really a great year and a half doing that. A little bit of responsibility getting people, because we had kind of a site that was just was changing. Downtown Canyon, and the site's changed over the construction of the new park down there. So it was great to see that flourish, and it was also good to see, new people come in, and the new site queue is a young guy, he's 20 years old. It's really exciting. So
yeah, I love, and I want to get more into your time as a site queue. I guess what still on the faith piece, would love to get your thoughts. So a lot of guys, and F3 is the perfect spot, right, for men to sort of figure out what they believe, right? Because we're not the church, we're not affiliated with a religion. So we're just saying, hey, as long as you believe you're not the king of the world, that's great. That works with us. But I hear a lot of guys that where their story is like, I grew up in the church. It was sort of a checkbox. I went to college. I strayed away. I haven't been back. And they're sort of like maybe, 30s, 40s, 50s. What encouragement or just sort of what would you say to some of those guys in terms of maybe what, from your perspective, what they're missing out on if they neglect their relationship with a God or SkyQ?
Well, you were talking about somebody that's strayed away from the church and, how that happened. And it made me think about Jesus, because he didn't really like much of what the church was doing. Mm. And then he found a dozen knucklehead guys that he brought together and he had fellowship with, and they shared their lives together, which is really what F3 is doing. And I think that a lot of church environments don't have that same fellowship. They try to make it, and it just doesn't always work. I know when I grew up, my parents went to a small Lutheran church in Omaha, in Benson. It was the first English Lutheran church, which sounds kind of weird. There aren't many English Lutheran churches, and but my parents are really close to the people in that church. Small group, and I think that in a small church, and you go to a smaller church, I think you have more of an opportunity to that. You know, the American church has just gotten huge, and you don't have that fellowship, and they try to put it together. And I think the F3 experience sort of mimics that fellowship with like-minded folks that you are willing to talk about where I am spiritually. It may not be exactly the same place you are, but we're willing to accept you the way you are.
And
love you and care about you.
Yeah.
So, and that's really, I think, what it is to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. I love that picture. I never thought of it. In my mind, I'm like, you know, Jesus started the first F3 probably, right? It was sort of like forgiveness, fishing and fellowship, right? Or something along those lines. That's a really cool picture. And I think you're exactly right. I think when I hear guys tell their story, the reason they have not gone back to church is because of the religion, sort of aspect and not necessarily because of, they disagree with who Jesus was or what he did, that sort of thing. It's more they didn't like some of the things that the religious organization did. So talk me through as you're thinking about F3, right? So fitness, fellowship, faith, and then our mission, right, to invigorate male community leadership. And we give you some opportunities, right, with your VQ and then to lead a site to sort of grow in leadership. And I would be curious, because you've had a lot of experience being a leader, whether it be in the community, in your business, you know, various things. How do you feel like those things like your VQ and leading a site developed you as a leader?
Well, the VQ,
your VQ is brutal, by the way. I don't know if you want to tell guys sort of about that. I remember thinking like, oh, this will be easy because he's old. And then, and then I got there and it was like the hardest workout ever.
Well, because I went, well, the guy that
I'm just giving you crap.
You know, Blue Suede asked me to do it.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do it. It was in the middle of the winter. And I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, well, you can go and look online and see what exercises are. I'll help you. But he never got together to help me. So I had to figure it out myself. So, that alarm clock thing, I thought, well, at least I know I can do that.
Yeah.
You just lay down on the ground and get up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I think it was 20 alarm clocks, then one burpee, and then it was back down to 19. And then
so, it was 21, just for people listening. It was 21 with alarm clocks and burpees.
Yeah,
which,
I know.
Which was, it was brutal.
It was like, brutal, yeah. But anyway, everybody got through it. And, yeah, so that first thing there, I felt like I needed to, you know, kind of come up to the mark and do it. So,
yeah.
I think I've never shirked the responsibility of doing something. And I think given the, you know, making the agreement to do it, I feel like I have to do it. I'm sure I got that from my parents and just the, ultimately from God. But I think that's just, I can't imagine not doing something I committed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't, but I think that aspect of being a Q is very important. Like, okay, I agreed to find somebody to work out at my site every week. And that's hard. You got to ask people.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I think the ones that don't take the full responsibility of that, I think it's probably harder on them. Mm-hmm. But it was really a blessing to me to, you know, I tried to get everybody I could think of to come.
Yeah.
So, and it made me go to other sites and I was always recruiting people.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
I love that.
What do you know, as you think about just leadership in general, what do you think are some important things for guys to keep in mind? And maybe zooming out a little bit, not just within F3, but just life in general, leadership as a man in our current day and age, what do you see as opportunities there?
There's a million opportunities because there's very few leaders out there that want to step up and do it. So I think, again, I mentioned before that, if you feel like something's calling you to do something, or there's an opportunity out there that God's putting before you, and you and it requires some leadership, you're better off if you do it. So,
even if you don't feel equipped or ready or.
Yeah, led to do it. So, this was 3 weeks ago. I mentioned before that Scratch is brother is a good friend of mine, and they were in the same fraternity I was in, and his brother is in a wheelchair. He got injured jumping into a pool at a wedding, and he started a place called All Play Park where handicapped kids play.
Oh yeah, we've done some third F stuff there.
Yeah, they play baseball. So Scratch said, "Hey, yeah, I haven't been out to Bruce's place. I should volunteer there." So I thought, well, I should volunteer. So I decided to go on. I asked Bruce what to do. He says, go online, sign up. So I signed up for a 9:30 to 12 thing to do, to work in the concession.
Oh, okay.
And so then Bruce sent me this text that, well, can you come at 6 and help set up? So I thought, okay, I can do that. But I was planning on going to F3 that morning, but I can do that. I'll come early. And then I said, should I not do my, because, well, no, you don't have to. And I thought, well, then I have to. So I ended up being there 6 hours,
yeah.
Which was fine, but it wasn't what I was planning on doing. Yeah. But it was a huge blessing to me of the people I met. I met a young volunteer there that was going through some emotional stuff. And I saw how Bruce was loving on this person. And then there's another person that was very needy that just always kept bugging him, and he's there all day long and he doesn't do anything. But I just saw what it is to be a servant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did my little shtick, but it was really a blessing to me. So if you don't respond to those things that are presented for you, that I think you miss out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to me the number of opportunities that God has for us that we maybe hear a little nudge and then we just kind of, we get distracted or we disregard it and we miss out on so much that he's trying to offer us.
I think another thing that goes with that, there's also nudges the other way. I feel like I might want to have something and I kind of pursue it and then it doesn't work out. I think I need to decide, oh, maybe that's a sign that I shouldn't do it. That happens sometimes.
Yeah. Well, since you kind of brought that up, how have you deciphered those? Do you do it anyway and then you sort of move on to something else, or how have you handled that in your own life?
Well, I think if things aren't working out, you have to evaluate, okay, so what other options do I have if it's not working out? Yeah. So do I continue to pursue it till it falls apart, or do I change my actions to make it work?
Oh, yeah.
So I think most of it's changing your action to make it work.
Yeah. And God's plan will be what God's plan is, right?
I'm not an expert on what God's plan is. I don't know.
Yeah, if you figure that out, you let
me know. Is that part of God's plan for your life? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Well, Da Vinci, this has been awesome. And I know there's so much more that we could unpack. I think... I'd like to give you some space. Is there anything we didn't cover or anything that maybe you've learned over the years that you would just love to get off your chest and kind of share with guys that are listening to this? Maybe anything about your personal legacy or just lessons learned, anything that maybe we haven't had a chance to cover?
Well, I would say that just related to F3, I think that's you men are all involved in a really wonderful thing. And yet it's an opportunity to have this fellowship with these guys that really is non-existent in our culture. And if you don't take that opportunity to reach out and actually participate and do it and go to coffee and work out and pick up the 6, which will always be me.
not always, right?
Not always, but it's quite often. Anyway, yeah. No, I think it's just really helps you grow as a man. And just the decision to go out every week, it helps you be a leader. And I don't have a wife, but I know that the guys that do, and that's, it can kind of come sometimes at conflicts with family relationships. But I think many of the wives say, I'm just so happy my husband's doing this because he's a better man because of it. And I think when you have the courage to step out there and boldly say, I need this in my life, it brings life to all the people around you.
Yeah.
So I'd say embrace this stuff in F3 unless it gets goofy. But I don't think it is goofy. I think it's really lovely the way guys share what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a huge blessing, as you know, in my life. And I think, but yeah, that's a really solid message. I think guys just lean in. Right. And, I would say to guys, if they see you out there, slow down the pace, right? So they can run next to you, ask you questions and get to hear more about your story.
You know, the only thing about F3 that bothers me is that a lot of people know me because I'm the oldest guy.
Yeah.
Or they've heard about me and whatever, because I'm the oldest guy.
Right. It's kind of a myth. We're like,
I don't know who you are, but thank you for saying something. Yeah. It's like, I feel like they know me and I don't know them, and I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Because I want.
So maybe the takeaway is introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Say, hey, I'm so and so. And
here's a trauma early in my life. I remember there was this woman I saw at a party, and I'd seen her before, and I said, can you tell me your name? I forgot. And she says, no, I'm not going to tell you my name, because that's what you told me the last three times. I'm terrible to remember names, so I'm really timid now because
interesting. Hopefully she wasn't somebody you were trying to date or marry.
Right? Well, she was really pretty. She married another friend of mine named Clark, so that was all right. She's
okay.
I told her that story since then. She laughs about it. She remembers doing it.
Yeah,
because I'm terrible with names.
Well, so, and I think lastly, that where we kind of like to end with guys, when you look at your life currently, whatever you're going through, where do you currently need prayers or support? Or when we do see you out there, what's something we could provide some encouragement for you on?
Well, like I mentioned before, I recently have come through this period of stress and depression about where I was in life. And I would say just stay optimistic and forward thinking about my future. And, you know, I built a new office, I practice. It's all a lot more expensive now in my life. And I have some I really love the gals that work for me, and I want them to do well. They love working there. So I think that's fun. So just to, you know, keep going on and trying to be a positive influence for other people. I really like that. I like being a servant.
Yeah.
I love serving people. And so just keep that spirit going.
Yeah. I love it. So where did you land? Who are you and what's your purpose?
Well, I think each of us are individuals.
Yep.
We have our own lives. And I think, you know, I've been given a name by my parents, Clark Stevens. So that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And so maybe sounds trite, but I think it's important. You know, Jesus came from Nazareth. I'm from Omaha. I live here now. I feel like I find a purpose in helping the community a little way. You know, I've built some buildings. I like that. There's a building I built with your father-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah.
30 years ago. And I see it when driving home from work. And I think that's really cool. I don't own it anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like contributing.
It's the one with the clock on it.
Yeah. So anyway, I think contributing to the betterment of your fellow man is really important to me. I like to be a servant, and my purpose is to serve others. It looks like I'm serving myself all the time, but I really do like to serve others. I feel validation from that. I don't.
Yeah.
I told you earlier, I don't really like talking about myself.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk about somebody else because I'm really interested in them. And I think I'm just going to pass away and fade away. I'll be like, you know, you go to a cemetery and there's people there, but, you know, you'll never know their stories.
Yeah. Well, I'm super thrilled that that I get to know you. And I think it's really cool to be able to provide some of your story. I just want to encourage guys to get next to you and ask more questions. And if you're not good at asking questions, I think the thing you taught us is there's a book out there that would teach you that.
It can teach you that. But, you know, I love you too, Brandon. You're a great man. I love your family. You've got this great family of three daughters and a beautiful wife at home, and I love how you're navigating that.
It's a challenge.
It's beautiful to watch you. And I was so complimented when you asked me to be in your wedding and say some scriptures. So that was a huge, huge compliment in my life.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Hey, one more thing, because I love you too. But there's some power in those words. Talk to us about just what does it mean when we tell another man, hey, I love you? What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it means my life's better because I know you. Mm. And I want to give you as much as I can to make your life good or make it better. Or I don't want to harm you in any way. I just want the best for you. And what I think love is.
Yeah, I love it. It's so cool because before F3, there weren't a whole lot of guys that I was texting, I love you. And now I'll do a lot of speech to text. And my wife's like, who are you saying that to? I'm like, you know, love you, man. And, you know, she hears it all the time. And so I think it's just really cool to have a place where we can truly like love and experience love from other men that it's just in a really healthy way.
Yeah. So,
all right. We'll do a little name-a-rama.
Okay.
All right. Brandon Fliardi, 39, The Plague. We got a fist bump.
Yeah. Clark Stevens, 71, Da Vinci.
Da Vinci, respect. Does that ever drive you nuts or?
No, there's. What else do they say? They say something else. One word.
Hate.
They say hate, but there's another thing they tried to switch it to from respect.
Oh, it's like some regions, I think, do honor or.
Yeah, I think I heard that last week. I didn't like it. Yeah. I like the respect.
You like it three times. Yeah. Yeah. I was after you in a name-a-rama the other day. Yeah. And I just remember thinking like, okay, I got to count, right? Because it's good. You know, I got to wait before we say all the respect.
I have to stay smiling the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I love you, brother.
Yeah, I love you too. Yeah, bye. Thank you.